and I'm speaking from Sarah Street Baptist Church in Greenwich, London. And today I'm going to speak on the topic, the King and the Judge. The King and the Judge. King, someone who wears a crown, and the Judge. Last couple of years we've been talking about the power of the Holy Spirit because Pentecost Sunday is coming up shortly. And it's very important that we prepare you towards that. I want you to know that it's not just a Christian thing that, okay, we've had Easter. What is the next thing coming? Pentecost. What's the next coming? Christmas. What's the next thing coming? Easter. No, we're not for that. We want these things to be meaningful to us. So today we're going to talk about the King and the Judge. And my objective today is to help you understand that without a presence and power of the Holy Spirit upon your life, the anointing, that is, you will not be able to reach your purpose that God has for you, whether in ministry or in your life. Without the Holy Spirit coming over you, without allowing Jesus Christ to fill you with His Spirit, without having intimacy with God, without knowing God personally for yourself and walking with Him for His abiding presence to be with you, which is the Holy Spirit, you will not be able to reach your purpose nor your destiny, whether you serve in the church or not, even in your life. So let us introduce you to another character. Last week we spoke about Samson. It was so exciting, wasn't that right? And if you missed that message, please go to our church website, www.sarstreetchurch.org.uk. On the YouTube channel, you will see that, the video there to watch it. Powerful stuff, powerful worship as well. So we're going to introduce another character. His name is Saul, King Saul. Saul was anointed by Samuel as the first king of Israel, and he reigned for 40 years. So I'm giving you history, facts, revelation, and going to release the power of God over your life. Don't switch off. If you're watching me on the internet, don't switch off. There's going to be a very powerful revelation coming to you, and it's going to be a very powerful word of God coming to you, and we're going to pray at the end of the day. Thank you, Morgan. Samuel was the last of the 13 judges. Samuel. Because you can't talk about Saul without talking about Samuel or mentioning David. These three characters are in there. If you want to know the story of Samuel, Saul, then you are picking it from 1 Samuel chapter 10 all the way to chapter 31. You got a lot of read, but it's so, so exciting. I'm not going to go through all this. I'm just going to unveil a few things to you. Yes, Samuel was the last judge. Last of the 13 judges during a 400-year period when Israel was in the promised land and had no king. Samuel was the administrator. Samuel was a priest from the tribe of Levi, because his father was Elkanah, and Elkanah was from the tribe of Levi. And Samuel was a prophet of Israel. Hear it again. Samuel was a judge. Samuel was an administrator, a priest. And Samuel was a prophet. Let's do some reading in case you're wondering what I'm talking about is true or not. Turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1 to 4. And at the same time, put your fingers on 1 Samuel chapter 3, 19 to 21. But let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1 to 4. It said, then the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. Eli was the priest at the time, high priest. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. And it came to pass at that time, while Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, and the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." God called Samuel, and he said, "Here am I." Today, God is going to whisper into your ears. You're going to hear God clearly in your mind, in your heart, even from what I'm saying. And when God calls you, let's be like Samuel and say, "Here am I." That means you are available, you are ready, you are yielding, and you say, "God, I'm going to do whatever you ask me to do." Let's read 1 Samuel chapter 13, chapter 3, verse 19 to 21. And see what it says. "So Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel had been established as a prophet of the Lord. Then the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord." Now, we are talking about a young boy here. At this point, he wasn't an old man. God called him when he was between the ages of 6 to 9. So we are talking about a kid, and God called him. At that time, he didn't even know the voice of God. That time, there was no revelation. People didn't even know what the word, the voice of God was. But somebody should have known. And that somebody was the man who had been anointed to serve in the house of God. His name was Eli. Eli was the priest of God. At that time, the Bible said that he has gotten to the point that his eyes were dim. It wasn't out of old age. He had eaten so much meat. He had eaten so much food that he has put on so much weight that he couldn't even see. Imagine that. I want to paint a picture to you. God is interested in our health, right? So instead of doing what he had to do, he was lying in his normal place. I mean, there was a spot that he was. He was so comfortable in his couch by the front of his veranda that he would not go anywhere. And today I want to remind you and I want to encourage you, don't be too comfortable in your bed. Hey, church is open, right? It's been open since 27th of September, 2020. And I want to encourage you. We're back. So you can always come here. Nonetheless, if you're watching this online, it's a good thing, a good start. But I want to move on for you to understand that at that time, this young man had been made a prophet of Israel. God was with him. He could hear the voice of God. And he knew the word of God because anything that God spoke, he heard it and nothing fell to the ground. And everybody from Dan, that means the south western part of Israel, all the way to the northeast. So that means the whole land of Israel, they regarded Samuel as the prophet of God. So God needed someone to offer leadership to his people, to teach them to worship God, to intercede on their behalf for his people, and to make himself available for the Spirit to fill him so that he can access the supernatural power of God and hear God and see God, to be the seer, to bring his presence and power on earth, to enable the people to reach their purpose, to enable the people to reach their redemptive potential. God has saved you. God has redeemed you. God has bought you with his precious blood through Jesus Christ for a purpose. And that purpose needs to be realized. But first, we have to hear the voice of God. God wanted someone to stand in the gap because Eli abdicated his job. So God wanted somebody to be a priest. Remember, Samuel was a judge. God wanted somebody to be a prophet, and he said, "Here am I." God wanted somebody to be a seer, and he said, "Yes, I am ready." God wanted somebody to leverage the hearts and minds of the people in their homes, people in their workplace, people that they meet on the bus and the train, people that they call them their social media contacts. He wants them to be leveraged to worship God. Samuel made himself available to stand in that unique role for God to use him. But Samuel was not a king. The idea of a king rose when Samuel was old and someone had to succeed him. Samuel, at the time he was old, he had two sons, Joel and Abijah. Joel was the old one and Abijah, the younger one. They were judges. They were supposed to be priests. They were supposed to be prophets. They were supposed to make themselves ready to inherit their father. But let's read from 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 1 to 5, and see why the people asked for a king. So now it came to pass, when Samuel was old, that he made his sons judge over Israel. The name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second was Abijah. They were judges in Beersheba. But his sons did not walk in his ways. That's important. They turned aside after dishonest gain, took bribes, and perverted justice. It sounds like some part of the world. Isn't that right? No names mentioned. They took bribes and perverted justice. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, "Look, you are old, Samuel, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations." Hallelujah. It wasn't God's idea, because God was with the people. God was fighting their battles. As you read 1 Samuel, as I told you, I mean, you can read a whole chapter, but from verse chapter 10 up to the end, you see that God was fighting their battles. God was their king. God was their provider. God was their seer. God was their prophet. God was their judge. God was everything to these people. But because Samuel's sons did not stand in their ministry, did not follow the ways of God or of their father, the people said, "No, we won't let these conjurers lead us. We won't let these corrupt people lead us. We will not. We want a king." And in this church, we are teaching our children our ways. We are teaching them to know God. We are teaching them to know the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit can call a child at the age of 6 or 9. A lot of teenagers mentioned in the Bible, powerful people like Daniel, powerful people like Joseph, and many more were just children. They weren't even 20. The oldest was 17. And God called Samuel, but his children were not. Now let's zone in a little bit on Saul, the character I want to talk about. Saul was anointed king of Israel. The people of God asked for a king to be like all other nations around them because Samuel's sons disqualified themselves from being a prophet of Israel. How many of us are allowing our sons and our daughters to disqualify themselves from being used by God? If you don't bring them to church, if you don't pray with them at home, if you don't correct them or open the Bible to them, if you don't worship with them, they will not know your ways. And they will walk somewhere else. Social media is ready to teach them. The internet is ready to recruit them. Bad people are ready to mess up their minds. And Satan will be happy to be part of that agenda. Hallelujah. They disqualify themselves from being a prophet of Israel. His sons did not walk in his ways, meaning they did not live right. So part of the condition of us being anointed of God, the Spirit of God coming upon us to use us to his honor and his glory in his church, in his home, in house of peace, which is the extension of our church in homes, is to live right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's do some reading. I love the Bible because I cannot just tell stories without taking you straight back to that Bible. Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. It said, there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zerah, the son of Bechorath, the son of Afia, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power. And he had a choice and handsome son, whose name was Saul. There was not a more handsome person than he among the children of Israel. From his shoulders upwards, he was taller than any of the people. Saul stood out. Saul was handsome. Handsome than any man in Israel. Even more handsome than Bramble. In case you are wondering who Bramble is, one of my sons in this house. Hallelujah. Saul stood out among the sons of Kish and Israel. Saul was tall, handsome, and was seen as a potential for what God was about to do. He stood out and was seen as a potential for what God was about to do. So today I want you to know that when you stand up for God, you don't have to be as tall or as handsome, but you have to know that the moment you decided, I'm going to stand up for God, you are a potential in the house of God and in the hands of God. Hallelujah. I can look at myself and I say, God, I'm a potential in your hands. You may say that for yourself. You can say that. I'm a potential in the house of God. And I'm potential in the hands of God. I hope you are not scared saying that. Thank you. You see, but if we are talking about soul, then I want to lead you into something that brought the anointing of God upon him. You see, the most feared and respected people in the Old Testament were the prophets. When they spoke, things happened. You know, the prophets actually came into being when Samuel became the prophet of God. And they only operated mainly during the time of the kings. From Genesis, through Abraham, through Moses, Jacob, through Joshua, and through the period of the judges, there were no kings. Of course, when you read the judges, you see that they made one a king, but he didn't survive, the grandson of Gideon. We'll pick him up next week. So here, a king need to be anointed, right? So a prophet need to be anointed. My apologies. So here we are seeing this. When the prophets spoke, things happened. Their interactions with God produced a fear, a reverential fear of God that often had a great impact on how people thought and lived their lives. When there are prophets in the house, it brings the fear of God. Are you a prophet in the house? Are you going to be a prophet in your home? When you're a prophet in your home, God brings reverential fear of God. People begin to fear God. People begin to respect God. There was one thing that separated the prophet from the rest of the people. It was the Spirit of the Lord that came upon them. Everything changed from that moment. Whenever the Spirit of God came upon them, it changed. The Spirit of God was not upon them all the time. It came every now and then. That was the Old Testament. In the New Testament, we are so privileged to have Jesus Christ. We are so privileged, looking forward to Pentecost. Here at Pentecost, we celebrate and blah, blah, blah. Most people even don't. And then they go away. We have Pentecost where the Holy Spirit descended, and is resting upon us, and is going to be with us forever. So God has made us, through Jesus Christ, more than prophets. Hallelujah. God has made us more than prophets. So are you a prophet to start with? And are you more than a prophet? That is the next question you have to answer by yourself. The moment the Spirit of God came upon them, everything changed that moment. They went from ordinary and respected citizens of the city and the community to a feared citizen of heaven. They brought the kingdom of God down for his people and for his God's will to be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Whenever the Spirit of God came upon a prophet and he spoke, the whole atmosphere changes. People begin to listen. People begin to order their lives. People begin to change their ways. People begin to worship God. They brought the voice, the power, and the presence of God. The prophets could see into the supernatural. They became seers. Yet it was the Spirit of God upon them that had the most overwhelming influence over their lives. God spoke through them, backing his word with signs and wonders following these prophets. Do you know they raised the dead? Jesus wasn't the first person who raised the dead. The prophets raised the dead before Jesus Christ. Read it. That's the Bible. Our saying goes, read all about it. They healed the sick. They healed the lepers. They caused the ox to float from a river. They prayed, and an ox that they borrowed that was lost just got up, popped up. Metal popping up from water like that. Before the ships began to float, God has worked it out already. Hallelujah. So God is a supernatural God. God is powerful. God makes the impossible possible. And when we get to know this God, and when the Spirit of God is over us, and when we connect with him, God will make our impossibilities and turn them to possibilities. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. That is the way the God that I have worshipped, I know him to be. And when the prophets spoke, things happened. Signs and wonders and miracles happened. The prophet carried the presence of God because the Spirit of the Lord came upon them. And whenever the Spirit of the Lord rests, doesn't only come. When it rests upon someone, things happen. And that is what changes them. So when the Spirit of God rests upon you, we have talked about the day of Pentecost. And when the day of Pentecost came, the Bible said they were in the room, Acts chapter 2. And the Spirit of God came. And the Spirit of God came to rest upon the people. Did you get that? See, when the Spirit of God rests upon you, the Spirit of God rested upon Jesus Christ when he was baptized in the river. And last week we told you how the Spirit of God came upon Samson. And each time he came upon Samson, he was a different person, wasn't he? It didn't come on him all the time. But he said, and the Spirit of God came upon him, filled him. Aren't we so privileged that the Spirit of God not only coming upon us, but filling us and abiding with us, resting upon us? Things happen. That is what changes people. Their interaction with God brings the abiding presence of the Lord to release fresh revelation of his word to help people achieve their purpose here on this earth. For that reason, Samuel the prophet told Saul about an encounter. Underline the word encounter. He would have. That will change everything for him and turn him into a different man. Now you see, Samuel is going to die. His children were not in the position to inherit him as the prophet of God or the judge or the leader of God because the people didn't respect them. They wouldn't have them. What was different from Samuel and his children was that Samuel had the Spirit of God upon him. Samuel knew how to hear the voice of God. Samuel knew that when the Spirit of God comes upon him, he does extraordinary things. He knew that. He knew that he needed the Spirit of God so that he can worship him well. And his children did not follow his ways, so they were disqualified. They couldn't do that. So you can see in context that at this point, as people say, we want a king. So if Samuel is going to die, then there shouldn't be a vacuum of the presence and the power of God. There shouldn't be a vacuum of the Spirit of God, because God can be accessed only by the Holy Spirit, because God is Spirit. Amen? And I've told you in the last couple of weeks, even the month, that you see, the only being that can access God from here on this earth is human beings. And the reason they could do is that God filled them with His Spirit. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. God breathed into human being and became a living expression of a living God, or a living expression of the supernatural God. He breathed upon them the Spirit of God. So you need the Spirit of God to be breathed upon you so that you can access God, without which you can pray as much as you like. It's only words. Hallelujah. That means if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and the Spirit of God now resting upon you, you are empty. And if the Spirit of God is upon you and you are not praying, you are denying yourself of access to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. Today, are you ready to access this God? God has given you that Spirit. So Saul needed to be filled to be like Samuel, but more so to be like God. The defining and common denominator is the Spirit of God. So, let's do some reading here. God had to fill Saul to be changed, to become a tool in God's hands. So in 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 1 to 4, we're reading, and it said, "Then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on Saul's head and kissed him and said, 'Is it not because the Lord has anointed you commander over his inheritance?'" Hear that? Not only the people, his inheritance. So anything that God has brought for you and me, God anointed Saul to be a commander of whatever God wanted to do here on this earth. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We have an inheritance here. Don't only look to heaven. You got to enjoy everything that God has made you to be. You got to attend your full redemptive potential. You got to be that man, that woman that God has made you to be. Don't wait until you go to heaven before you enjoy. Are you getting it? How will you know if when you go to heaven you will enjoy if God doesn't give you a taste of heaven here on this earth? Hallelujah. What is the difference between you and the unbeliever if you are struggling and you're always crying and the unbeliever is doing the same or even doing better? Why would they come and worship your God? Yes? I don't want to be worshiping somebody who is miserable, who is always struggling. No. So, where am I now? Verse 2 says, "When you have departed from me," that's Samuel talking to Saul, "you will find two men by Rachel's tomb in the territory of Benjamin at Zelzah. And they will say to you, 'The donkeys which you went to look for have been found. And now your father has ceased caring about the donkeys and is worrying about you, saying, what shall I do about my son?'" So, verse 3. "Then you shall go on forward from there and come to the terebinth tree of Tabor. There are three men going up to God at Bethel will meet you, and one carrying three young goats, another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a skin of wine. And they will greet you and give you two loaves of bread, which you shall receive from their hands." Which verse am I now? Verse 4. Verse 5. "And they will greet you and give you two loaves of bread, which you shall receive from their hands. Here we see that Saul was thus anointed to serve God's people. He was anointed at the time. He was going to look for his father's donkey that had gone astray. But he met the prophet Samuel. And the prophet Samuel told him that whatever you're going to go for has already been found. How did he know that? He was a seer. He saw beyond what Saul could not see because the Spirit of God was upon him. He was a prophet of God. Saul was thus anointed to serve God's people. He was supposed to represent God to his people. Therefore, God had to give Saul every opportunity to do well. In that sense, Saul had to carry the prophetic anointing. Did you get that? Because he's got to be a prophet of Israel. Because Samuel is going to go. And God will not leave his people without a prophet. God will not leave his people without somebody who is anointed, who has the Spirit of God to communicate with him. God will not leave his church without his Spirit. So if you're a church and the Spirit of God is not in there, you are missing something. Do something about it. Begin to start praying. Begin to seek the face of God. And the prophetic voice needs to be heard. That means people who pray and who hear the voice of God and who declare what God wants his people to do so that they can come closer to him. Saul had to carry the prophetic anointing. We see here that God was preparing Saul to engage and be connected with him for worship and taking the nature of the Lord, the very body of Christ, to be at the heart of the church. Did you notice the bread and wine we're talking about? Where do we see that? The New Testament, don't we? The goat signify the blood, right? And we see them in the New Testament. So God was preparing Saul for worship and was preparing him for a worship of praise. He was preparing him for worship of the prophetic. Let's read from 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 5 to 7. I'll have a few Bible verses, then we'll be done. It said, and afterward you will come to the hill of God where the Philistine garrison is. And it shall be as soon as you come there to the city that you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the high places with harps, with tambourine, with flute, and lyre before them. And they will be prophesying, right? They will be prophesying. Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man. Some translation says a different person or a different man. And let it be when these signs come to you that you do as the occasion demands, for God is with you. Hallelujah. For God is with you. We also see here that when the Spirit of God came upon Saul, he was a changed person. He changed into another and a different person. It was up to him, Saul, to use that which God has planted in his heart. This Holy Spirit realm would be necessary for him to accomplish what God intended as he led Israel to both safety and peace. Through this means, he would have access to the realms in God to do what God wanted him to do. Now, one of the powerful ways that we can access God is through praise and worship. And you see, these people were prophesying. You'll be among them, and you'll be prophesying with them. And you'll be turned into a different person. You begin to worship with them. You begin to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and you'll be a changed person. So, we see here that Saul needed to be willing to do what the occasion requires. See, then you'll be able to do what the occasion demands or requires, for God is with you. For God is with you today. God is with you today. God is with you who is listening to me online. That God wants to fill you with his spirit so that whatever job that God has given you, whatever task that God has given you, whatever calling is upon your life, you need the Holy Spirit to do what the occasion requires. Whether you're operating the camera, whether you are behind the sound desk, whether you are worshiping, whether you are sitting in the congregation, whether you are teaching children, whatever your ministry is, whatever job you have out there as an accountant, as whatever it is, you will need the Holy Spirit upon you to do what the occasion requires. If God has called you, if you call yourself a child, a people of God, if you call yourself a Christian, then from there on, you're not only going to rely on your height or your beauty anymore. You're not going to rely on your skill set anymore. But you do what occasion requires. That requires you to have the Spirit of God upon you so that God will direct you right. Amen. See, for several years, 27 years, I worked as an accountant and not just on the floor, a very top one. And during all those times, when you are at the top, it's not easy. Not in this country. I haven't worked in any other country or many other countries. And you come under a lot of pressure. You come under a lot of stress. You come under a lot of criticism. You come under a lot of people who don't like you. Some may like you. Some will even hate you. Some they tell it to your face, like I heard many times. Some people say, people like you need not to be sitting in this room. I mean, you hear things like that. What do? It didn't bother me because God had anointed me to do what the occasion requires. So in your workplaces, just get the Holy Spirit upon you. So when you come under stress, pressure, whatever it is that you are going under, let the Holy Spirit fill you to do what the occasion requires. People used to say, Gideon, you do miracles. I'm sure they didn't understand what they were saying, but I was doing miracles indeed. Because the Spirit of God upon me was able to let me do things that I've never even come across before. And yet I had to do it. Sometimes I feel people just throw the most difficult assignment in front of me just to catch me out. Sometimes I come on and think, oh God, I haven't seen this in my life before. Yeah, we studied, but application is different. And I come home, I sleep a little bit, and 1 a.m. I'm up and I'm praying. I'm praying, and God give me some ideas. I sit on my computer. Come morning, by 4 a.m., I just send whatever I've done already. My boss will open it in the morning. I think, wow, you're working at that time. And I'm thinking, what do you expect? Because he wanted it, and I had to do it because God gave me the wisdom to do it. So when you come under pressure, when you come under difficulty in your workplace, don't shiver. Don't fall apart. Ask the Holy Spirit to fill you, and the situation will be changed. Amen. Amen. God equipped, anointed Saul ready for leadership and for ministry. The Spirit of the Lord was already on the prophets. When Saul came into their atmosphere, their environment, what was on them got on him too. The Spirit of God upon a person creates a heavenly atmosphere here and now. I mean, people in my workplace, and when I was working in the secular world, they used to say, you are a missionary. I'm wondering, they didn't even know that I was a pastor. Why did they use words like that? You are a missionary. And some who are Christians will say something like, we believe God brought you here, Gideon. Most of them, they call me Mr. Nash. I don't know why. But whatever it is, maybe a sign of respect, hopefully. But whatever it is, you see, the Spirit of God that was upon the prophet created a heavenly atmosphere. So when Saul got into the atmosphere, he began to prophesy too. Hallelujah. So we have to create that heavenly atmosphere in our homes, in our place of work, wherever we find ourselves, in our environment. So when people enter it, they'll begin to be caught, to be changed by the same Spirit. Many a times, I once worked in the place that people love to swear as a normal water that they drink. And when I started working there, as soon as they saw, I said, oh, sorry, Gideon. Oh, sorry, Mr. Nash. And I'm thinking, what have I done to them? The spiritual atmosphere is being changed. You got to be praying, my brother, my sister. You got to use what God has given unto you. You see, Saul had an opportunity to use the anointing upon himself to transform his people. Instead, he sat and did nothing but build monument for himself. You can see that in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 12. Just take a note of it. King Saul did not open his heart to receive the revelation to connect the anointing to the prophetic. Neither did he get close enough to understand that the presence of God is released even more powerfully when people gather in a church or in a community or people who worship God, which is one of the avenues that the prophetic is released, and worship is at the center of it. From the reading that you had in 1 Samuel chapter 10, we see that the people were worshiping. The prophets were worshiping, weren't they? They were worshiping and they were prophesying. As soon as Saul got there, he was also prophesying. And listen to what people said. Is Saul also among the prophets? Because when he left that place, he couldn't stop prophesying. He was prophesying all the time. He was saying, God was saying to his people. So the people really saw him. They said, wow, this king, is he also among the prophets? You see, so we have to come to that point that people will look at us and say, are we also among the prophets? Surely we are. Because one of the gifts that God has given to the church after Pentecost is the gift of prophecy. Because in Joel chapter 2, verse 28 through to 32, said, and the time will come, end times like this, that God will pour out his whole spirit. And people will prophesy. People will see visions. People will speak in new tongues. That one, Peter connected in Acts chapter 2. Your sons and daughters will see visions and prophesy. And before them said, and there will be miracles happening. The sky will be turned red. Not literally red, meaning things, extraordinary things will happen. And said, anyone who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God wants to save people. He wants them to see miracles. He wants them to see the signs, but the prophetic voice needs to rise up in the church. I'm coming to an end, and I will probably cut it short and continue next week. You see, here, most of the time, when the Spirit of God comes upon a person, he moves through them according to their own maturity and willingness to be used. This will be evidenced by one's hunger for God. We have to become hungry to the point that we want the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of God, to possess us. The word is possess us. King Saul did not allow himself to be possessed by God. You see, the Spirit came upon him, and somebody who was an ordinary person, he was possessed. That means the Holy Spirit took full control of his life. You see, as a child, I don't remember how old I was, probably about 9 years old or something, and I was in Ghana to be precise. And I had some friends that we play. They come to my yard, I go to their yard, and we have, if you don't understand, yard like compound, right? Fence wall. Yeah, they live in a house where there are walls around it. So they come to my yard, I go to their yard. And then there are certain times of the year, I believe the end of April to the first week of January, they have a festival. And when they have this festival, ordinary people that I was playing with, now the priests of the gods that they worship will begin to say things. They begin to pour wine on the ground. They begin to say words. They begin to slaughter a goat. And suddenly, these people that I play with, something come upon them. They become powerful. They become different. They swear here and there. They begin to say things as their God would say. Yet they were ordinary people. They were possessed. That was the first time I understood being possessed by the Spirit. You can't stop them. If they are holding something, you can't take it out of their hands. And normally they may be carrying maybe a sword, or they may be carrying something like a pedal or something with them, where they've poured some I mean, some wine, and they pour some blood on it, and their gods have come fully, and these people will be sweating, and they're so powerful, and when they move, nobody can stop them. They say things that are mysteries. And when the Spirit leaves them, they become ordinary people again. Wow. I'm saying this for you to know that God will possess us even more powerfully with the Holy Spirit. Where we become different people and change persons. That we will speak as our God wants us to speak. We'll be strong as our God wants us to be strong. Because last week I was telling you that the Holy Spirit is the strength of God. That's why Samson was so strong. God wants to make us that strong. God wants us to shift boundaries. God wants us to change atmosphere. God wants to change you and me. God wants to transform your life. God wants to heal the sick. God wants to cast out devils. God wants to heal the oppressed and set the captives free. God wants to set you free from your poverty. God wants to set you free from the incurable diseases. God wants to become the person that He wants you to be. But we have to be hungry and be possessed by the Holy Spirit. I need to stop here. And I'll continue next week. I would like us to pray. Wherever you are, I would